Welcome to Politics Done Right. My name is Egberto Willis, your host. Good morning, Houston. Good morning, Harris County. Good morning to the great state of Texas. And of course, good morning to the United States. Good morning to every nook and cranny our 100,000-watt transmitter fits through to get to your FM radio and every nook and cranny around the world that our internet signal presents itself day in and day out. Buenos dias todos. Vamos a tener un buen programa. We're going to have a great program for you today. Please stick around. It's going to be, well, I'll talk about it after we have a chat with the geniuses in the control room. Good morning, nuestros genios favoritos. How are my people doing?
Well, Jack, do you want to hijack a show with something?
Maybe we can try.
Okay. Good morning, everyone in Perth, Australia. Why the heck not? Roberto, we have something fun coming up today with the tin can string. We're going to drag them over to Under the Volcano for the R&R show. It's a live broadcast, so we're going to be broadcasting even the music from there. So this is going to be the next step in figuring out how we can get back into the public eye. Ronnie and Tom will be there. All the fun of Off the Rails Radio. He says that it's a ripping, roaring good time. And on his little poster up here says, please pimp this thing and come join us. So we are pimping it and come join us.
Hey, let me ask you something. Are you going to carry the turntables there with you?
No, you're going to use CD players. We've come into the 21st century.
Oh, okay. We're not
using turntables anymore.
Well, I thought you were going to go out there and do some scratching and all of that. Well, I guess you can scratch with the new equipment without turntables, eh?
Well, we can record some scratches, but they're scratchy enough. Ronnie and Tom, today, Under the Volcano, 1 to 3 p.m. live broadcast. It's going to be a fun time, so I hope a lot of folks come in.
So come get pie-eyed and fall down and all that fun stuff.
Well, yeah, that's part of it. That's Off the Rails Radio. You listen to that thing every afternoon. I do.
I do. I do listen to that one.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun time, folks. We're going to be live on remote broadcasting, which we've been doing here for a while. We did the art car parade downtown. Jack was there to help me. I just can't say enough about how Jack helps me out. You know, I can't laud enough praise on this man to actually accurately portray just how valuable Jack is. And he's over here blushing too. So,
Jack has turned into a radio guy. Well, actually, we can't just say a radio guy. We have to say a radio, internet, and everything in between kind of guy to make sure people get all this stuff, music and news alike.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I try to give kind of the emotional response to things. You know, that's where I'm coming from.
Yeah, you should have heard him out there at the art car parade. Howard, get over here. Do your job. That was the emotional response. They're calling for you. And by the way, where does this wire go? So it was fun. It's going to be fun today. We invite you out to come and enjoy Off the Rails Radio live from Under the Volcano this afternoon from 1 until 3. Jack, what you got?
Well, good morning, Egberto. How are you?
Good morning, Jack. I'm great. I'm waiting to hear your word of the day.
Well, this is about war jobs.
I know.
If war is waged on the innocent, where are the hearts of the people who work in the factories that build the bombs, the planes, the missiles? How do they live with the truth that their work is used by a government to kill the innocent so business can profit? I'd say your job kind of bites, and it's only a job. So the statement, I was only doing my job, sounds kind of hollow and shallow to the consciousness of the soul.
Yeah, it didn't work at the Nuremberg trials either. I was just following orders, sir. So, yeah. So we're making the munitions. Stop and think about what you're doing.
Yeah, this government isn't guiding us in the right directions anymore. They've let something take over it, and they're, we got little skirmishes popping up all over the place. Ukraine, Thailand, South Korea. I mean, they're trying to close the net around China.
And China ain't going to like that. And Walmart will go out of business if we don't stop importing stuff from China. Everything is made in China.
Do you ever find it funny that as we talk and talk about how bad China is, we can't go into a store in the United States for things that don't say made in China? The hypocrisy of what really happens with business versus country versus military. It's just astounding. I mean, we are just pawns. And until we understand that, we don't, you know, it's going to continue. Because again, think about it. Is there really something going to happen with us in China? Not really. Think about it. Everything here that the average consumer uses is made in China. China has a stranglehold on us. And, you know, and actually, I shouldn't say China have a stranglehold on us. We gave China the noose to hang ourselves. And
yeah, we sit all our factories over there.
Yeah. It's amazing. You know, so, I mean, it is comical when you hear these politicians get up and talk about China this and China that, when they're using China as its labor force. It makes no sense, and people need to get with it. And when Trump came and he said, I threw tariffs on China, China smiled. Those tariffs weren't placed on China. You see, when you hear the word inflation, that is a tariff that Trump put on all those goods coming into the country. Guess from where again? Where again? China. Oh, wait a minute. Why is it that pencil, instead of costing 50 cents, now costs 51 cents or 55 cents? That's the tariff you are paying for. So when he said he placed a tariff on China, what he really did is he taxed you, because you're not going to stop buying the pencil. You're going to still buy the pencil. And when he taxed you, guess where that tax dollar goes? It goes right into the federal government. And when under Trump, what did he do with that tax? He said, our deficit isn't going to be as large anymore. Let's make it just as large and give these tax cuts to the wealthy people. Again, that's not just speak, sir. People, look it up. You know, when we put tariffs on China, what we're doing is putting a tax on every American citizen that goes into Walmart. That goes into Walmart. You're paying an extra tax. And the thing about it is that tax is paid by all of us. So we have to understand the thing. Eric Hayes, welcome to Politics Done Right on the web. He says, check your new Apple phone, not in China, as they have moved some manufacturing. Apple is just one product. I will tell everybody to go into your grocery store, go into your Walmart, go into all these different stores that sell things. Go on to Harwin if you're living in Houston, where all our people get a lot of their stuff that they sell in their stores. And you'll see made in China. Let's see. When tax cuts are gone next year, we'll all be taxed more. But I mean, look, no, we won't all be taxed more. We'll get more taxes from the wealthy, the people who, and when you talk about maybe the wealthy will pass the tax on to us, let's remember something about the wealthy. Most of the wealth is like stockholding corporations. And if we clamp down on other issues, no. Again, Eric, remember what I tell you about the way to think. But anyway, before I get started, let me first tell you what the show is going to be about today. Title of the show today is Truth Social Stock Fraud Revisited. And I really want to put some context onto Truth Social, because I don't think it is getting enough coverage. And I don't think it's getting enough coverage because if it got the coverage that it really deserved, people would see the stock market, the whole, that economic system driven by stocks, as the fraud that it really is. And I don't mean just, I'm not just calling it fraud for the sake of calling it fraud, but the fraud on every single working American proper period. And the second subject I'd like to talk is the Ecuador invasion of the Mexican embassy a few days ago. When Ecuador invaded the Mexican consulate, it was no different than Israel sending missiles into the Iran consulate. It is starting to defy the norms of the world that makes the world work without having war. And, you know, if Israel can do it, if Ecuador can do it, the dominoes start to fall internationally. And at that point, embassies and diplomatic relations don't make any sense thereafter. But before I get into the subject, since I've already gotten two calls and you all take precedence, I'm going to take Harry, then Gonzalo. But here's the deal. Remember that if we don't get to these subjects, you can always go to politicsdoneright.com/newsletter for all the subjects we were going to cover. Anyway, let's go to Harry. Good morning, Harry. How are you doing, my brother?
Good morning, Huberto. I didn't mention this the other day when, I didn't call that day on Monday, when you talked about your weekend and how you had to be with your friend who lost someone in there that was dear
his to him.
I'm sorry for your loss. As I was telling, as the mayor of Politics Done Right describes him, Magic Jack and Captain Reynolds, I want to give them some love, those two geniuses. I've been loving Magic Jack's monologue on with the military industrialism stuff with war and profit over people. You know, it's just sad, but you know, that's an industry and people make money on it. But I like Magic Jack's enlightening comments. And then Captain Reynolds, I just love his when he does his rant on things. I want to talk about what he talked about the top of the show yesterday with the Donald Trump trial, because I was listening to stuff about that yesterday on NPR. The only thing that concerns me when they were talking about how they've excused a lot of the jurors already because they can't be impartial because they think that Trump is being railroaded. They're buying into Trump's rhetoric of a witch hunt. Poor old Trump, as Captain Reynolds was saying yesterday, poor old me. It's, you know, I didn't do anything wrong and all that. The only thing that concerns me in all of this, it was the Stormy Daniels thing. I hope Captain Reynolds' prediction is right. I hope you're right, Howard, that he will get convicted before the general. But what worries me is a hung jury, because all it takes is one, and then that'll be the end of it. So I just hope that that doesn't happen. I hope these jurors listen to this evidence that he violated, used that campaign money, violated those falsified those records, and then I hope they make the right decision and convict this man and put this man in prison. I think they said he can do up to 4 years in prison, so I'm hoping and praying that that happens.
Thank you, Harry. Harry, I got some other calls, but let me just say one thing to that, Harry. Important.
Go ahead.
I think this. My hunch is that we are getting a hung jury. That's my hunch. I hope I'm wrong, but my hunch is a hung jury. But here's the thing: I want people to campaign not as if a conviction is needed for Trump to be seen as unfit for office. There is enough on Trump that makes him unfit for office, not only from an intellectual point of view, but for many other reasons. If people are just going to not vote for Donald Trump because, well, he didn't get convicted of something like this, I think we have missed the point. And what I'm going to try to do, if I get to it, is tie Ecuador and the election of the new Ecuador right winger. I want to tie that into Trump, but we'll get there if we get there. If not, we'll take it another day. But thank you for calling, Harry. I need to run to Gonzalo.
One more thing.
Real quick.
I want to give some love to your next caller, Gonzalo. He's very bright with his comments. I want to give love to Ray, your caller Ray, Pete, Patrick, and the two women that call, Jonah and Cece. We have thinkers on this show, and I enjoy all
Harry and Harry, all of them, and you too, brother. I appreciate all our callers, right, and you too as well. So thank you so kindly, right, sir. Let's go to Gonzalo. Come on in, Gonzalo.
Hi, good morning. Good morning, Alberto.
Buenos dias, mi hermano favorito de Cuba. Háblame.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Harry, for your words, your kind words, and the audience is awesome. I'm not going to mention names. Thank you for trying to solve the equation about the hyperinflation. And we all understand that thanks to Trump's tariffs, we have higher prices. The solution, and that's another question. You are an engineer, a smart engineer. I want you to give me the clues to solve that equation, because technically, Joe Biden, and let me tell you something, I won't vote for Trump no matter what. So I'm not going to vote for him. That's a fact. I would never vote for Trump, but I'm hesitating whether to vote for Biden. And I'm going to tell you why. He promised to bring build America, whatever his motto was. How is he able to solve that equation? Is he going to bring jobs here that are made in China and South Asia and other countries, outsource companies that have gone there to maximize their dollars? That's a good question. Also, we should have improved our educational system in such a way to bring kids more capable to cover the needs of high-paying jobs, skillful jobs. And what we see in the news is Boeing with a number of failures in some of their aircrafts that for years has been the most reliable ones. And that's sad, you know, because that's really what brings America great again. You know, keeping the standards, the high standards, and not giving a chance to competitors like Airbus and Bombardier and all the companies, and even Asian companies. And if you see the news, you know, I read the news about the new Trumpist in the South, Milei in Argentina, and he was trying to buy aircrafts. I think he bought finally American aircrafts because that's his goal, to say hello to Trump if he comes back to power, and to dismantle what the leftist people have done for years, that is to deal with China. And guess what? They had a mysterious secret base in Argentina. What are they doing? The government didn't even know. They say that they do research about what? Mm. And that is a fact, too. China has been get into places like Africa, South America, Latin America, and they have now enough power to be spying in the nearby areas of America. And we're trying to wake up and say, hey, they are here, close to us. So how are we going to solve that equation? That's my question to you.
Okay, can I answer? Let me start. Your first question had to do with inflation and trends, you know, where jobs are, et cetera. For a long time, our economic sector, the leaders of our economic sector, that being the titans of commerce, the capitalist magnates, they have never cared about the American worker. And they have made a natural alliance with the Republican Party and neoliberal Democrats. And in that process, they've done many things. They have exported jobs. I mean, it's a cliche to say they exported jobs, but when you look at where manufacturing occurs, just look in your stores and see where all these products are manufactured. So that is something that Republicans and neoliberal Democrats alike have allowed to occur, because, again, we have been governed by both Democrats and Republicans since Reagan. All right. Reagan started a huge process with supply side economics, and that continued under Clinton, under Bush one, Bush two, and under Obama.
I think you have to go back to Nixon.
Nixon opened China.
Yes, 73.
I agree with you, Gonzalo. I agree with you. First of all, let me just tell you, because you're right in that the genesis of opening China to the rest to America, and with that real industry, did come when Nixon opened the door. And I am 100% with you. There was a little difference again when Carter came in. The president that I think I love the most in this country, Carter.
Me too.
So I mean, I give that to you. You're absolutely right. Nixon opened the door, but Reagan barged through it and created the infrastructure for all these other things to occur and thrown our jobs over there. But guess what? There's another thing that occurred, and that is a dumbification of America that began with Reagan and the false information coming from the Heritage Foundation and these other think tanks that sprout up to really misinform people. And what have we done? We've done all the things to make America less the thinkers that we used to be or that we were growing to be. Now, when you see that as we manufactured overseas and developed more overseas, we got too big. We got a class of Americans who were no longer educated as they were before in the aggregate. And so what happens? Eric is in the chat saying lower hiring standards lead to bad quality. And he's right. What he's wrong about is how the lowering standards came about. A less educated population, companies that put more money into profits than to building their workforce, than educating their workforce, than training their workforce, right? Of cutting corners to make a dollar. So those are the things. When we talk about the difference in presidencies now, what do we have to show? And the one thing we have when we had a Donald Trump is that Donald Trump was in fact president. And Biden is in fact president. So we have two records that we can actually compare. Do we like either one of them? Personally, I don't. But what I will be doing, taking my host hat off, is looking at what's been done and what the potential or possibility of what can be done in the election of either one of these guys, because one of these guys are going to be the president. Either one of them are going to be the president. So therefore, nothing else, in my opinion, matters. So my thing is, if Trump becomes president, what are the policies that we are likely to be able to convince Trump to get through? If Biden becomes president, what are the policies, or continues to be president, what are the policies we are going to continue to be able to get through? We also have experience with what that is. Pramila Jayapal and Ro Khanna and many others, they have great progressive policies that our neoliberal president, because he needed that coalition with the left, was able to get through policies that not even Obama, as a centrist Democrat, was able to get through. And people are going to say, Obama, centrist Democrat? Yeah, things have moved so much to the right. Obama is a centrist Democrat that not even Obama could get through. So Biden was able to do that. Not to speak about the idea that he's bringing back a lot of manufacturing here into the country. Yeah, I think that answers a lot of questions with economically, what the differences would be. Now, you also spoke about China and China building things elsewhere around the world. The country is now the world is back to a bipolar world. Some would want to say tripolar if you include some other countries, but it's really bipolar. It's either China or the United States. And the United States have its tentacles everywhere. And China is trying to do the same thing that America, as one of the other poles, did, and that is putting itself everywhere as well. So when people get scared that China is in here and China is there, I don't really get scared. I look at it as for what they call the third world. I look at it as the third world having choices. If America want the third world to adopt its principles, maybe invest in those third worlds. Like we always say, you invest where you want people to go. You know what China has done over the last 30 years? As we have been bombing or selling bombs to destroy places, they have been, and I'm not saying they're doing it for good, just like we're not doing it for good. We're doing it for our national interest. China is doing what China is doing for its national interest. And they have two different approaches. America's approach has been speak loudly and carry a big stick. It used to be speak softly and carry a big stick. Now it's speak loudly and carry a big stick. China is speak softly and act quietly. And what's it quietly that China is doing right now? China is in Jamaica building freeways. China is in Argentina. China is in Ecuador. China is in Venezuela. China is in Panama. China is everywhere. Americans don't know that. And when they find out, they act like, oh my God, look, China's been there. Quietly investing and building.
Was you here with the balloons? Do you remember the story with the balloons?
Yes, I do. Tell me about the story about the balloon. What do you think about the balloon story?
Well, they're just trying to get closer and get more satellite images to even spy further, you know?
Oh, let me stop you there. Let me stop you there, my brother Gonzalo. Please tell me, do we fly stuff over China as well? To understand who they are?
That's a good question. You know, we're trying to impede that they take over Taiwan, and I think that's the political front that is open.
Let me stop you right there on Taiwan. Hey, Gonzalo, por favor, una cosa más. Let me just say that because you brought up an important thing right there, right? You just said they want to take Taiwan. The only reason Taiwan matters to us, right, is not that Taiwan is a democracy. It's that Taiwan is a hell of a manufacturer and has our biggest chip manufacturing in the world, right? So what we have done as Americans is we have ceded our freedom to Taiwan's freedom and other places in the world. Think about this. If we were, if EMC were building all those chips in the United States as it should have been doing, as we should have been building our own chips using our own technology, it wouldn't matter if Taiwan and China got back together, because the truth of the matter is, Taiwan and China was one country at one time, and they fight it out what kind of country they want. The only reason, from a strategic reason, America cares about Taiwan is not that we love the Chinese in Taiwan and don't like the Chinese in China, is that they manufacture a lot of cheap goods for us in Taiwan, cheap technical goods in Taiwan. So when we understand that all our military problems have its genesis in not China, but in our own businesses, our own corporations who sold our country out, our manufacturing industries, all our corporations sold out every American worker. And then we have these American workers somehow many times because, again, of ignorance. Because remember, we try to keep our people ignorant. We don't realize that we have to fight these wars over there because we need them over there to manufacture the things that we don't manufacture over here. It's amazing how when you look at the genesis of all our problems, it's for profit corporations wanting to make more profits on our back, and then we have to support them again militarily when those other places have problems. Anyway, anything else, Gonzalo, before we move on?
I have so many things on my head, but I know the time is limited. Last but not least, you are trying to bring the idea that there are only two possibilities. But in 2008, as far as I remember, Obama came from nowhere, and nobody would thought that we would have the first Afro-American president ever. And I think you can leave open the door to say that there will be a third candidate that will take advantage of this apathy that we all citizens have about the two candidates, and come up with a new plan, with a new vision, and with a new political strategy that brings the audience aware that neither Trump nor Biden are the solution. So
I need to answer that because all our audience need that answer. You posed a very important question. Obama came in from nowhere, and he actually won the presidency before America was really ready to hire a president like Obama, a black president. You're absolutely right. The difference here is he coalesced in a party that already had him registered in every single state, which would have allowed him to have whoever the Democrats threw out there would have allowed electoral votes. The problem with a Kennedy, with a Stein, or with anybody else is they won't be registered in places where they can get 270 electoral votes. And that's the issue. This is what I told folks back in 2016 when we were talking big about bringing up a third party, because I'm for getting rid of the status quo just as much as you are. I am. But for me to jump on a bandwagon that says, let's work on this third party, I need a path. And I need that pathway that we don't mislead people into believing it's a possibility. And that pathway is, how do we get 270 electoral votes? That's the bottom line. How do we get 270 electoral votes? If you like Kennedy, for those who like Kennedy, I have big problems with Kennedy, but I respect those people who say, well, you know, I'd like Kennedy to get a shot. Hell, Donald Trump has made it possible that just about anybody can be president. So, for those who say, you know, Kennedy stands a chance, my question is, draw me the path for him registering in states that will give him 270 electoral votes. That's the bottom line. And that's the only thing, Gonzalo. But Gonzalo, I got to go to Donald. Anything else before I run to Donald?
Hey, thank you for your time. Thank you for your words of wisdom. And thank you very much, the audience.
Thank you, my brother. You too now. All right, let's go to a brother, Donald. Come on in, Donald.
Good morning, Alberto.
Good morning, sir.
Hey, what is that saying, when diplomacy fails, something, something? What is it?
I don't know. I've heard it, but you always give me brain freezes. Well, I don't know why you do that.
Diplomacy fails, war succeeds, or something like that. It's
yeah,
are doing their job, because they're tired of being a third world country that's getting walked on by somebody else, because how's diplomacy working for them? They're harvesting, you know, the lithium and all the other stuff. How's it working for them? And okay, with the religious thing, isn't it an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth? It's not an eye for both eyes, or a tooth for a mouthful of teeth. All these people that have been blowing this smoke up everybody's butt, it's starting to come out, because you're going, oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. You told me to do this, this, and this, and the world will be all great. Now you're going around. And the one other thing is, the worst thing America ever did is, I think it's called plausible denial.
Plausible deniability. It's called plausible deniability.
Yes. How's that working out for him now? I think the Wizard's skirt showing. I think we're able to look up his dress and we're seeing what he is.
Yeah. 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 Anything else, my brother Donald?
Oh, no. When I told everybody China was over in Mexico years and years ago, they're like, oh, you're crazy. I'm like, okay, you'll see. Because when I was out on ranches hunting, we would have to leave the ranch because the cartel was bringing a shipment through. No, they were running exercises. I'm not saying they're a threat, but guess what? The BRICS is the perfect name because they use the BRICS to pave roads. We use BRICS to throw them. So,
Wow. Donald, stop. Because you just made a very important statement. That one phrase. They use bricks to pave roads. We use bricks to throw and break things. That is what I was trying to explain to Gonzalo about China around the world. That, you know what? That's a t-shirt phrase right there. That's a t-shirt phrase right there. You should make one. And people are going to say, what the hell does that mean? And then it opens the door for a real substantive conversation. And for those who don't know, BRICS stands for Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. Well, there are about five or six other countries that have joined BRICS as well, but it still holds the name BRICS. And what those countries have done is America has the EFT system, the financial, not EFT, I forgot what it's called, the financial system on the way it moves money. And many times if America wants to penalize a country, only America can, because all of money's worked through dollars through the American financial system. Well, there's now an alternate system called BRICS. And that is so to ensure that one country doesn't have the power that they've had before, our country, that is. And again, what Brother Donald just said is the mechanism being used by these countries around the world. And it to put it bluntly, too often it makes us look pretty, pretty bad. And I'm talking about not in the Caribbean, only in the Caribbean, but in Latin America and elsewhere. The plutocrats in these countries still have an affinity for the United States because the United States have that big army that they know are not afraid to use bombs to get their way. But the masses around the world, they're seeing a different story. And because our news here is censored and Americans don't realize that, we think we are free. TikTok has opened the door for people to learn a lot of stuff they didn't know. Now, look, TikTok has a lot of lies on it too, right? But it also has a lot of professors that found that platform gave them the ability to reach people. And not only to reach people, but to educate people. And what has happened is the politicians have realized that. And they've said, oh, my God, if people realize that, you know, Haiti, people are coming from Haiti, not because they're just running to America, but because of what we did with the rice farming over there. If people start learning all these things about what's really causing the southern border problem, oh, the rationale changes. If they learn why inflation is really here, oh, my God. They get their learning. Education is the biggest fear of the American businessmen and the American plutocracy, neoliberal Democrats and Republicans. The biggest fear. Finish up, Donald, before I move on.
Okay. And why are you so hard on Trump all the time? You know, everybody else, he's like me, is similar to me. Everybody else runs in black and white. We run in gray. That means we're going to push every bound and every limit there is to get our way.
Let me tell you, let me answer your question. Let me answer your question because I think you're right about that in a lot of ways, right? Sometimes I ask myself that, and there are some callers, and I'm not talking about my conservative callers, but other callers, I'm like, why are you just Trump, 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 right? And let me explain why. Because whereas I know the plutocrats are the real ones that are the trouble, I know that the businessmen are the bad businessmen are the ones that are destroying this country. I understand all of that, right? And Trump is nothing but a tin pack thug, right? He's nothing but a thief, but he's not a thief like the guys who run the big multinational corporations. But Trump is a very important tool for those guys. And how is that? Trump was able to do something those guys were never able to do, and that was to form a cultish following. In other words, Trump has gotten people to follow him just because, and that is a special thing, Donald. That is a special thing that Trump has, and I don't know how. But I want to get into people's head to just open their eyes. But what Trump can do, none of the plutocrats can. And that is the way he hold on to the people. And a lot of these people, mostly, again, people, what we call the low information voter, but others as well. He's able to create that cult coalition like no other president that I know has. Even Obama, when Obama was a cultish figure on the left, he never attained it in the way that Trump did, because Obama did it with policy. Trump is doing it with just Trump. Anything else, Donald?
That's the point. He is draining that swamp, and he disrupted so bad that they will stop at nothing to get him where he can't do anything.
What is a swamp?
That's a great thing. He's testing the system, the career politicians, the people who are funding all this, the people that have that orb that's worth this amount of money.
Hey, Donald, stop. Hold on for a second, and don't leave yet. I want to bring Howard into the conversation. Don't leave yet, though, because I want to add something to what you say afterwards. Come on in, brother Howard.
Oh, I know how he built his cult. He built his cult out of disenfranchised middle-income people who are being squeezed and seeing the pandering of our federal government and our politicians to minorities. And I mean minorities as far as population goes. That's how he built his cult, because he's saying exactly what they're thinking. And that's why they say, oh, that's our man. So whether he's right or whether he's wrong regardless whether he's right or wrong, that's how he built his cult. He found the disenfranchised middle-income folks who are being squeezed from the top and bottom, appealed to them, something resonated with them, so now they follow him. It's simple. Simple thing.
And Howard, I think in effect, that is what Donald is saying, but I think there's a piece Donald is missing that you just said. But I want to go back to Donald, because I agree. Donald, from Howard, check this out, right? The one part I want to get more out of you is when you said he drained the swamp. Here's the thing. I think what he has done is I don't know that he drained the swamp more that he's told people he's draining the swamp, but he's still beholden to the same people that created the swamp. Donald?
Exactly. I'm 100% agree, but the point is people need the illusion. They need something to hold on to. They need the hope in the system. What we need to stop doing is telling these people to go get a college education and everything's going to be all right. You need to tell the people that a blue-collar job ain't that bad. You can work on an HVAC system. You can be an auto technician. You can build a business. The invasion of people that are coming in here, they're not trying to become president. They're trying to make a living. They're trying to start their own business. They're trying to use the tax code to benefit them because it's there, and nobody's telling them. We go to school to find out what we suck at, not what we're good at. This the whole system is screwed up.
Oh, we're laughing in here. Hey, Donald, that is funny. That is true.
Go ahead.
Oh, we were laughing. We said the whole system is, we're getting education to see how screwed up the system is. Well, yeah. Okay. I can go with that.
Now,
yeah, they're showing us, hey, a moron could come up here and do this. And we're like, we're clapping. Yeah, he did it. Cause in the bottom line, as you may say this, he knows things right now that he could blow the lid off of. But he doesn't, because he has enough integrity to know, like, the documents that were whatever and all this other stuff. He has secrets that are not declassified. He has information that's not declassified, but he knows better than to do that. So you got to say something about the man. He's at least got half a brain because he don't want to go disappear like Hoffa. But that's it.
All right, Donald, we need to talk a little bit about this another time. But I mean, I see where you're coming from. And I think, believe it or not, I think Howard wrapped it for you. But there's one little catch in your phraseology that I want to tackle another day. So we'll do that another day. All right, brother?
All right, later.
Take care, bro. Let's go to Todd. Come on in, Todd.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
I've listened to your show over time for years. Never really called in, but I appreciate the fact that you're willing to have dialogues and listen to different perspectives. And the reason I called in was just listening to your explanation of why people are supporting Donald Trump, and you used the phrase "just because," and I just find that a little bit incomplete. And maybe that's, I'm an independent. I've never voted Republican or Democrat. I've never really felt like I needed to. I vote with my feet and with my dollars. And usually I adapt to whoever's in power. And the way the world's gone lately, whoever's in power, I tend to jokingly say, oh, yeah, they're the greatest, because I don't want to offend the powers that be. But the comments that come from the people who hate Trump or oppose him or against him, calling his supporters like they're in a cult, I just wish he would back off on that, because it's almost like a talking point. And I, as an independent person, in my opinion, I don't find anybody who supports what he says or does as being influenced as some sort of cult member. And I just think that's kind of a, I don't know, it's just, and blaming and pointing fingers at someone else you don't agree with, and then trying to put them into a sort of a way that you can make them feel good or you can understand it. And let's just call them all part of a cult. I could say the same thing about people who say his members are in a cult. Well, that sounds like everything I hear from the people on the left. I mean, what that to me sounds like people who are in the left cult. So I just wish there was a little bit more recognition that those kind of words, calling his supporters members of a cult, that's not helping any conversation or anybody move forward to really understand that we all have some differences. And I guess let me wrap it up. You mentioned Obama had maybe possibly a cult-like, but yet he had more policies. I think ultimately Trump, whether he talked about women or says this or says that, he also has policies, and I think some people like his policies also. But my main last point, after I just said I was going to make a point, is I think that what I'm watching over the last 6-7 years isn't so much what Trump does. It's just been the reaction to Trump from the left. It's been nonstop hysteria, and there's been so much hype and hysteria and hyperventilating over everything he says and does. And that's just because of he's the opposition, and it's hard to watch, because so much of it is all the things you said about him, you really don't have an honest perspective, or you're not looking at the people on the left side who aren't any really different, in my opinion, when it comes to self-serving interests and playing along with the plutocracies and all that. They're all the same game also. So if you have the outrage over things Trump does, I just find it that should be equal on both sides.
First of all, Todd, there's a whole lot that you said that I agree with, and there's a whole lot that you say that the human in me is guilty of. You know, when I call many of Trump's supporters cultish, first of all, I wouldn't call you cultish based on how you just expressed yourself. But there are, in fact, what's that?
Well, I said exactly. Yeah, I'm cultish just because I'm
No, I said
He's awful.
No. I said I would not call you cultish based on the explanation that
gave. I thought you actually said I was. Sorry.
No. That's not what I'm saying. And I, in the work that I do in also trying to bring people together, sometimes I fail in, yes, I get, when I use cult, I want to use cult for a whole large percentage of Trump's people. But you are absolutely correct that there are also some Trump people that just, you know, Eric told me a few days ago, and I the phones are ringing up, and I'm going to get into trouble here because I'm not going to get all the callers today, because you brought up a very important thing here. And I said I didn't like Biden per se, but I was voting for Biden because I'm voting for all the things that I think can happen under Biden's policy. And then Eric said that's why I'm for Trump. Okay, so I am willing to forget all these other things that Trump represents because I like XYZ. Good. So he laid me down right there to tell, and I told him straight up. I said, "Oh man, shoot! I opened the door for that, and you are right." So my next thing here is to actually then have to prove why the policies that are possible under Biden is better than the policies under Trump, and I can prove that in my humble opinion. But there has to be a way to communicate that. Yes. Under Trump, there are cultish people, just like I told you under Obama, there were a bunch of a cultish group under Obama that would vote for nobody else thereafter. I'm running out of time here, Todd. Can we do this? Can you listen tomorrow and call in tomorrow so we can go with this in more depth? I never like to leave anybody hanging on the phone. So what I'm going to do is give everybody 30 seconds and ask you to call back tomorrow. We'll finish up on this tomorrow. Is that okay?
That's good. It'd be a couple of days. I'm on the road, but I appreciate you taking my call and at least considering my comment. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We'll talk another time. I want to go over what he said in detail, but for now, I got to hold you to 30 seconds, guy, and I'm going to go 1, 2, 3, 4. Johnny, 30 seconds.
Okay. To the gentleman who you were just speaking to a moment ago, if it offends you, then let's rephrase where we're talking about, what we're talking about. In A Few Good Men, that movie with Tom Cruise, where he plays the lawyer, and Colonel Nathan Jessup on the stand tells Tom Cruise's lawyer that you can't handle the truth. Well, that's what we're basically trying to get across to people who voted for Donald Trump. They can't handle the truth. And part of it is the fact that they've been brainwashed for decades by a corrupt media.
Got to leave you there, Johnny. Thank you, Johnny. The media is a problem. Thank you. Joni, 30 seconds.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Hello? Okay. The left will hold their candidates accountable. I was an Obama voter, but when he got in and he started kowtowing to the insurance companies to put together Obamacare rather than single payer, I was upset with Obama. They will, the people who are cultish for Trump will make it to where whatever policy he says, if he changes the next day, they follow him to that change. Whatever he says goes, and they don't think past what he says. They don't put anything together. Anyway, that's why it's a cult. Thank you.
Very good point, Joni. Moses, 30 seconds.
What I'm saying is, what do you not understand about the ways of a tyrant? Call a spade a spade. After January 6th, after continuous disrespect of judges' rule orders to him, what more do you want to know that this man and those who follow him are cultish? Thank you.
Thank you, Moses. Derek, 30 seconds.
Alberto, I don't like hypocrisy. Mr. Todd knows doggone well that doing it, was it Clinton? The contract was for America. You can go down the list and show where there was a lot of disrespect from the Republican side to the Democrats. Unless I play hypocrite, all of them are definitely implicit in everything. Thank you, bro.
Thank you, Derek. Let me, before I go to Brian, I just want to say something real quickly. I understand when we talk about hypocrisy, hypocrisy is when it's done knowingly, right? There is something that Todd said that I think I hear what Joni and everybody else says. I want to explore something Todd say it's important that we do, and that can actually be the bridge to that I see. Brian, come on in 30 seconds.
Yeah, you want to talk about hypocrisy? How about Tom Hartman? And you mentioned TikTok. That's hypocrisy right there. It's called lack of freedom of speech. Tom Hartman will not let one single negative comment on his YouTube channel. Not one. He has 57 comments. If you read them, there's only 14. He's knocked out every negative comment. That's lack of freedom of speech.
Brian, we'll talk another time. I got to go. Thank you very much, Brian. Your 30 seconds up. You good, great. Hey, guys, thanks for the conversation. We have a lot to go. Go to politicsandright.com/newsletter for what we were supposed to cover today. But, man, I really enjoyed this conversation. Let's finish this stuff up because I want to explore the cult and that other kind of stuff as well, bringing what you all had to say into one place. Let's go to our studio.
Well, I don't have anything, but Jack does.
Trump is for big business, not the people.
Oh, well, that's pretty easy to figure out. All right, back to you, Egberto. Wrap it up.
Anyway, folks, look, love the conversation. Let's keep this up. Let's keep this going. All sides, I want you coming in. Folks, we are going to get this solution by November. Anyway, my name is Egberto Willis. This is Politics Done Right, and you know how I end this, baby. I am what? Out.
We spend a lot of time deconstructing the news, trying to parse it into a form that everybody can understand. We try to find those little nitpicks where it flies above the fray, etc. If you really like these videos that we do, I want to ask a big favor. Please go ahead, number one, subscribe to our channel, and number two, please join if you can. Thank you so kindly for watching. Keep watching. Please remember to share. We must populate the entire internet with our progressive message, a message that we know is what most Americans say that they want. So help us, please join.